This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
All right, good morning, boys and girls. Thank you so much for joining us here in the studio. That's right, it's December 3rd, I believe. The holidays are approaching. That's why it's important to think of others, which is what we're going to be doing today, talking about others. With our guests in the studios. We talk about what's going on in North Korea. Let me take a moment and thank the folks who helped make this possible, such as Blue Ridge Graphics. You can find them at the corner of Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville. They provide custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. All right, let's jump into the fun of today's program, because I find it to be educational, sort of infuriating, and we'll see how it tips you. Let's check all the microphones. Ladies first. Jennifer Yang. Jennifer, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for coming in today.
And I thank you for having us.
Jennifer is the publicity chair from an organization called Liberty in North Korea, or LINK, and the UVA chapter. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is.
All right. And over on the other microphone, the always challenging mixer, Howard Kim. How, Howard?
Hey.
All right, good. We're off to a good start. When the technology wants to work, we can usually handle the rest. Jennifer is the publicity chair. Howard is the vice president of LINK. Who wants to get started? Describe, you know, our listeners out there, what is LINK and what is its mission?
Jennifer.
Okay, well, LINK is, like we said, it stands for Liberty in North Korea. And we are a grassroots organization, which means we mostly rely on the lower base, just the people. And it's mostly student-run. It's we have a lot of chapters all throughout the United States and different colleges. And we have a chapter, I believe, in South Korea and Japan and London, I believe.
Yeah, a lot of different places.
Yeah, and so... basically, we are a human rights organization that tries to just really raise awareness. That's mostly our biggest challenge, I guess, right now, because a lot of people are very uneducated to what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm. So it's a student organization?
No, there are some professional like people that are not students involved. There's actually a chapter in New York that's mainly just lawyers that help to sort of help LINK deal with legal issues and things like that, but mainly it's run by students, and it was started by a student at Yale, so yeah.
And currently they have headquarters right now in Washington D.C. and they overlook all the chapters and stuff.
All right, I'm curious what prompted the founding of LINK. You know, is this, you know, did this come about because of the nuclear issues? You know, President Bush years ago called, put North Korea as one of the members of the Axis of Evil. Did this Does this go back to something that happened in the 70s or the 80s, or you know, where does this come about?
It actually started at a conference called CASCON, which stands for Korean American Student Conference. I believe it was the one in 1998, 1999.
I'm not sure, I think.
But at the conference, there's a documentary called Soul Train, which is a documentary about the issues that are going on in North Korea, humanitarian crisis. And it wasn't the full documentary. It was like pieces of it that were being made. And they somehow got a copy of it, and they showed it at the conference. And a lot of students felt that they needed to do something about it. And they started an email list among the students across the country, and that's sort of how it got started. But it started at Yale, at CASCON at Yale.
What's the biggest misconception of North Korea right now? You know, you want to talk about things from the humanitarian aspect, and I want to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like that the biggest thought of the general public in terms of North Korea are nuclear issues.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the media puts forth. That's what's on the headlines. That's what you see. You know, Katie Couric and Brian Williams do on the nightly news. but you want to approach things from a completely different aspect. So tell me what the number one misconception is.
Well, I think personally that because the only coverage that North Korea is getting is mainly the nuclear issue, so people tend to, I guess, generalize that the country itself is, you know, really supporting, not supporting it, but that they're well off, that that the rest of the population is okay. And the really sad thing is, I feel like the humanitarian issue is a lot more important than the nuclear issue. And the misconception is that the public is doing well, that they're okay, but that's not the issue. People aren't satisfied with their government. On the outside, it seems like they are supporting it, but it's known to have a lot of concern, and a lot of people are very not satisfied with the government right now. And so I guess that's like the biggest misconception, that the public is generally not happy with the government, but they're just fearful to show it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask, I don't know, and I should have asked this earlier if I should ask it at all, but are the two of you have a Korean background?
Yes, yeah. We're both Korean.
Okay. And again, I don't know why that's important. It's just curious to me. Somebody tell me what the human rights crises are in North Korea. I mean, to me, that's a big label.
Mm-hmm.
Human rights crises.
Mm-hmm. Most people, when they hear about North Korea, they sort of have a sense that things are bad in North Korea, but a lot of people don't know about all the details and all the specific human rights crisis that's going on. And right now in North Korea, there's people that are starving, that are dying because they don't have like the 10 cents to buy the medicine, the cold medicine that they sell in North Korea. Or there are people that are being tortured and, you know, publicly executed, and there are like 10 to 12 concentration camps that are just like the Nazi camps, you know, in during the Hitler times, and it's pretty much exactly the same thing going on as the Nazis' time that are going on right now in North Korea, and a lot of people don't know about it, and we feel like it's an issue that should take. That should be concerned as like the primary issue when anyone thinks about North Korea.
That's a big accusation to say that the things going on in North Korea now are similar to what happened in during the Nazi time. Because I think to most people, that's the worst ever. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way it's taught to us. That's you know, whatever your attachment may be, whether you have family attachment to that, whether it's just comes through the classroom, is that was the worst ever treatment of others, and nothing could possibly be that bad, and we don't ever want it to be that bad again. We have to do things before they approach that that status. But you're saying that it's just as bad.
Yeah, exactly. It may be even worse, just because not a lot of us know about it, and that sort of keeps the situation going on. So the fact that there's not much action being taken may even make it worse.
There are a lot of real atrocities going on that are very similar to the ones that happened in the concentration camps during the Nazi reign. There are actual biological testing. There's witness stories that the witnesses come and tell that they've seen and witnessed biological testing on prisoners. They've seen rape. They've seen torture, and they've experienced it. These are just words. Rape and torture are just words, but and to us, they're words. But these are things that are actually happening to these people. They're not treated like humans. The guards that are at the camps are told in order not to treat them like human beings. And you're right, that is a very, very big something to take in, to see that it's comparable to something that happened in the Nazi times in World War II, because I feel like as people, we shouldn't let something like that happen again, yet we are.
11:12 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk with folks from the university chapter of LINK, Liberty in North Korea, Jennifer Yang and Howard Kim. Feel free to dial us up and ask some questions, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, if you're listening. And one of the areas that needs a toll-free number, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, 979-0919. Michael is here today to patch you through. Jennifer, you mentioned witness stories. My understanding is that North Korea effectively doesn't let anyone out. They don't let anyone in. You're not allowed to say anything but positive stories about the leadership and the government. So how do we have witness stories? I mean, I don't want to be the person who's calling all this a bunch of, not believing any of this, or the sort of person who writes off the fact that there were concentration camps. You know, I'm not that type. But how do we have this bit of information to know that it's true?
Well, first of all, you are right. It is it's against the North Korean law to leave the country without permission. It's considered an act of treason. And if anybody's caught defecting to a different country,
it's actually considered as the biggest crime in North Korea.
Mm-hmm. Really? To leave the country?
Yeah, over murdering other people or anything else.
It's the greatest act of crime in North Korea. It's considered treason. Wow. You're betraying your country by leaving. And so a lot of people, that's what prevents them mostly. But because the situations are so dire in North Korea right now, a lot of people are defecting to China, which means they're running away. And a lot of those people don't succeed, and they're caught, and they're sent back to concentration camps and whatnot. But those very few that actually succeed, what they'll do is they'll go to China and they'll hide, because the Chinese authorities, if they find you, they'll send you back over to North Korea forcibly, because they claim that you're an economic migrant. And so they're illegal refugees, and they won't consider them refugees, so they'll deport them back to North Korea. But for those very few that find asylum by running into different embassies or such like that, there's also an underground railroad system in China. But they'll find their way to Seoul, or South Korea, and they'll start new lives there. And I know of just one particular family who actually immigrated to the States. And I've gotten an opportunity to meet them and stuff. But, yeah, back to your question. So a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, but there are a considerable amount of North Koreans that actually defect and make their way to South Korea. So a lot of witness testimonies have been taken that way.
But, Howard, can't, if something you're unhappy with is happening to you and you move over here to change it because you don't want to put up with it, don't you just exaggerate what was happening to the people you're telling stories to? Oh, that job was awful. Man, you wouldn't believe how, mm-hmm. you know, they treated me or my boss was or the amount of work I had to do or whatever. So now I'm here. This is cool. I love this job. I love everybody that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that's a poor metaphor, but, you know,
that is true too, but the fact is there is about 8,000 defectors from North Korea that are in South Korea right now, and they are some of them were actually guards of these camps. A lot of them were actually prisoners of these camps, and there are about like 5 to 20 defectors in the United States. They actually just started officially accepting defectors from North Korea, the United States. So that was a huge change recently. But all these people's testimonies across 8,000, how many people, like, they match the descriptions they have of the concentration camps, the descriptions they have of the political system inside North Korea. A huge part of it overlap, and it's almost an evidence that not a lot of people can deny. So
right, so it's just an overwhelming number of testimonies that they're too similar to be coincidence, and I think it's hard to say that it's exaggerating because it's just, like I said, an overwhelming amount of people that are saying the same things.
11:17, as we talk about North Korea and some of the humanitarian problems that are going on there. We talk a little bit. We sidestepping some of the nuclear issues, which are getting all the front page news, and talk about some of the humanitarian issues with Howard Kim, Jennifer Yang from Liberty in North Korea, the UVA chapter of LINK. Howard, you said something that caught my attention, that people defecting from North Korea are just now being accepted in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why does it? How long have the humanitarian issues been going on? And I'm assuming that they've been going on longer than just recently. So why are the United States just now changing policies and accepting North Korean defectors?
Well, United States has a lot of problems with people coming into their country for many, many different reasons. I mean, the Mexico border with U.S. is a huge example of people trying to get into U.S. Illegally and trying to find jobs and things like that. So the U.S. has very strict rules for allowing people to become the U.S. citizen. Although things in North Korea, you know, were going on for a very long time, it wasn't really caught. It didn't really catch attention in this country. And obviously there were many efforts to do that. And it's slow, but it's actually changing to actually help these people out. So it's a very positive move. And I feel that it's great for, you know, the U.S. to care about North Korea and to actually try and help out these people. So,
but Jennifer, saying that we won't accept everyone who comes across the Mexican border, you know, whatever your opinion on that, even if you're for it being pretty open, if the United States says, look, you just want to come over here for economic reasons because you want to find a better job, but we're talking about people being allowed or not allowed to defect from a country where they're being starved to death, where they're being put in effectively concentration camps and have chemical and biological weapons tested on them. Isn't that a different reason for letting people in and being more open? And again, I come back to the question of why is it just now coming to pass?
Okay, definitely. Like we said, our main mission is awareness. And a lot of people are very, very oblivious or ignorant to the things that are going on in North Korea. And I feel like it's basically because North Korea is a very, very isolated country. Virtually no communication goes in and out from between it and different countries. So basically no information goes in, no information goes out. It's a very, very isolated country. And that's why such things have been going on for 20, 30 years, and people have just recently been realizing it because it's so isolated, and people haven't been aware to things going on inside because there were no means of it getting out. So I guess now more, because it's been getting a lot of attention really through the efforts of these defectors and stuff like that. So this is why I feel like President Bush started to really pay attention to this. He's actually met with a couple of defectors himself. He's read a book written by a defector, and I feel like he's done a lot to help make this effort possible.
All right, 11:21 here on the Wake Up Call. As we talk about some of the humanitarian problems in North Korea, feel free to dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Howard Kim, Vice President of Link. Jennifer Yang, Publicity Chair of Link. Let me tell you, the markets of Targa Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley, partly sunny today, highs 45 to 50, mostly cloudy tonight, lows 25 to 30. Mostly sunny again tomorrow, highs 35 to 40. Right now in the valley, it's clear in 37 and clear in 37 in Lynchburg. Some clouds in Richmond where it's 44, but it's beautiful and clear here in Charlottesville and 38.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Let me also thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. They are winter outfitters in Virginia for over 30 years. Blue Ridge has footwear that's warm and stylish from Merrill and the North Face, and they also stock genuine sheepskin Uggs. You can give the gift of warmth at Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. They're in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and at brms.com. And coming up this Friday is the annual Toy Lift. This year in the parking lot of the Fashion Square Mall, there will be musical performances and free Ben & Jerry's ice cream as we help collect toys and books for kids in the region who won't have much of a Christmas without you. And if you can't make it out to donate a toy or a book on Friday, there's a list of Toy Lift drop-off sites at avenue.org/kids. WNRN will be broadcasting from the Toy Lift in the afternoon with giveaways for folks who are donating. See you at the Toy Lift in the Fashion Square parking lot this Friday. All right, back to the topic at hand. Let me bring everyone back online. And we got our first call. It's an anonymous call. Hey, caller.
Hey.
Bring it on. What's your question? What's your comment?
I was wondering, with such a wide issue, with such a large concept, what can the average citizen do to help with this effort?
What can the average citizen do?
Well,
For some reason that sounded like a participant of Link, but just sounded like a question for someone whose chair position is getting the average public to assist. But it's a great question.
Well, I think one of the biggest thing is awareness, because unless people know about what's going on, there will be no change. So the first process is to actually know about what's going on. And anyone that if you know about it, you can, you know, tell your friends or, you know, tell your teachers, professors, whoever you meet. Just by telling about what's going on in North Korea makes a huge difference. And, I mean, you can also, there's many ways to, like, financially support the different NGOs and, you know, institutions and organizations.
What's an NGO?
Non-government organizations.
Okay. Got to watch that jargon. I don't know. NGO, non-government organization.
But most, I guess, monetarily, like Howard said, donations-wise, if you go to our website, which is www.link.org, there are means for anybody.
Linkglobal.org.
Oh, sorry, linkglobal.org. Linkglobal.org. it's possible for anybody to donate, even anonymously, to LINC and their organizations. And we're a nonprofit organization. Basically, what we do is that any and all funds that we get is used to help refugees that are in China, that are in hiding. We actually use a lot of this money to fund underground railroads and shelters for people who are hiding from authorities in China. So, yeah, definitely, if anybody's listening, if you guys would just find it in your heart to go to linkglobal.org to donate, that would do a lot.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be LINC. There's other many, many different places that do exactly what we do, and, you know, so. But I feel like the most important thing is, you know, raising awareness, and the first thing that needs to happen is that people must know what's going on.
You know, as we talk about raising awareness, by the way, 11:26 here on the Wake Up Call, talking about humanitarian problems in North Korea, which a lot of people aren't aware of, and doesn't get the headlines in the news. 979-0919, if you'd like to call and ask a question. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, our anonymous caller, should have gotten things started. I want to talk about the prison camps for a minute. We touched on it and some of the horrific things that are going on over there, biological testing of prisoners, etc. One of the things that I found, I guess, disgusting, if you want to pick up a word, is that people in the camps are forced to make retail items that then end up on American shelves. Is that true? Did I read that properly?
That is definitely a possibility. They're washed through China and labeled as made in China, but they could definitely end up in stores in America.
So we don't know for sure that we should stop buying, you know, brand-wise DVD players or something like that.
Well, I mean, I guess there is really no way of telling when you actually buy a product, whether it was made in North Korea or not, but I guess if you do, then So.
There was one case where, I think in the 90s, where there was a very big fad in France where they were all into paper roses. And I read an account from a refugee where they were forced to fold 60 roses. The prisoners were forced to fold 60 roses in an hour, and that's basically one every minute. And if you weren't to meet your quota that day, you would definitely you would be tortured. Or from that particular refugee's point, they said that they would be put in the box, which is basically a really, really small cage where you have to crouch in, and they'll probably leave you there for 3 or 4 days. And this is just for not meeting your quota of a folding of paper flower every minute. And they were washed through China and used to be sold in France.
Now, a lot of the discussion with a lot of people are saying that we need to have discussions with North Korea. We need to have discussions with China because they seem to be, I don't know, would you say that they're on the side of North Korea, that they are in agreement with North Korea in terms of government?
China is the biggest ally of North Korea, and other than like out of all the countries, they are the biggest supporters of North Korea. But it is true that, you know, like because of the recent nuclear crisis and different, I guess, troubles that North Korea is bringing to China, they are taking harder actions against China, against North Korea these days, and it's changing in many ways. So that's sort of what's going on with China.
Well, Jennifer, what does the American government do about this? I mean, it's one thing to say that the best method or the first start is to educate everyone. But educating, you know, all the American citizens, what is the eventual goal? What is the hope that comes from that? I mean, I recognize that, A, you know, at the left end of the line, you educate everyone, and the right into the wine, all these humanitarian problems stop in North Korea. But there has to be an awful lot that goes on in the middle in terms of whether you're asking the American citizens to get the American government to handle things in one way versus another. You know, does Link have a governmental side to it, a political or religious side to it?
Basically, our organization is nonpartisan. We have no links to any religious or governmental organization. And basically, we don't really have a governmental stance. Our only stance is any government issue that is for human rights in North Korea. So we can't really say we agree with one side or another. It's any side that is willing to help us in our cause to help raise awareness for human rights issues in North Korea, and any real government stances that help promote help going to these people.
Are there any international issues or actions that you think would most help solve some of these problems, some of these humanitarian concerns?
I think the biggest thing that could happen to help this is that all the different countries that deal directly with North Korea needs to get together, and they need to come out with a single strategy to deal with North Korea rather than many different ones, which is what is going on right now. And because there are countries that give aid to North Korea, some countries give sanctions, and all these different, totally different ways of dealing with North Korea makes North Korea, allows North Korea to sort of depend on maybe China for this time and Korea for this, South Korea for this time, and the U.S. for this time. And because there isn't really like a unified strategy, like it makes it harder to solve what's really going on there. So,
right, but definitely, I think one of the most important international issues right now is that there needs to be more strain or emphasis placed on China to ask them not to repatriate these people, mm-hmm. because it's definite that these people who are sent back to North Korea forcibly from China, they're going to be executed, they're going to be raped, they're going to be tortured, killed, publicly executed. And China knows very well that these people are going to have their basic human rights violated, but, they don't care, essentially, and they send these people back over. And I think that is one of the most important issues right now internationally that needs to be taken another look at. And so basically I think China really needs to step in and try to help these people.
Is all this due to the current North Korean Prime Minister, Kim Jong-il?
He's not a prime minister. He's actually a dictator. He owns basically everybody in North Korea. He can do whatever he wants in the country. And definitely it is because of his leadership. Basically, they are the hierarchy. They are considered almost deity in North Korea. People consider him a god. And he forces people to love him, but he doesn't take care of them. But basically it is because of his leadership.
He is the biggest part of the problem, to be honest. But I also feel like the reason why this is going on is because not a lot of the people are trying to make a difference and things like that. So I feel like a lot of it is also our responsibility, because we can make a difference when we gather forces and, try to do different things. But a lot of us just, don't decide to do that, so.
And basically, the reason there isn't any change coming about in North Korea is because of the leadership. The Kim Jong-il regime, what they do is, if anybody is even suspected of going against the government, to have an opinion that differs with the government, what they'll do is they'll imprisonate you, and not only you, but your family. So, for example, if my grandfather were to be suspected of having an opinion that differentiated with the government, he would not only be imprisonated, my grandmother would be imprisonated, my mom, my dad, my uncles, my siblings, and myself. We would all be placed into these political prisoner camps, and place there indefinitely.
Wow. All right. 11:35 here in the wake-up call. Let that settle for a second. And see if anyone in your family might get you into trouble when, by saying something and what that might cause. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, as we talk about liberty in North Korea, or I guess the fact of the lack of liberty in North Korea, with Howard Kim, Jennifer Yang, two members from the university chapter of LINK. gosh, that last part threw me off. It is 11:36 here on the wake-up call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, this week The Hook asks, what happens after a police shooting? The news may be sensational, but both the police and the victims have to return to their altered lives. Dr. Neil Cassell turned UVA Hospital into one of the world's most respected neurosurgery centers. He takes the interview hot seat. And should the area school buses have seat belts? Is it just safety versus money? The Hook, offering many ideas of what you can get me for Christmas. And let's thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for their support today. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. And they're open until 10 Fridays and Saturdays. That's Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center in the Hollymead Town Center. And now on the downtown mall here in Charlottesville. On the web, it's fiveguys.com. That's fiveguys.com. All right, back to the topic at hand. Humanitarian problems in North Korea. We fire all the microphones up again. We're talking about China and they're trying to get them to participate more heartily in helping some of the issues, not sending people back, etc. Aren't there human aid workers and missionaries, etc., in the area countries attempting to help North Korean refugees? What are they doing?
Mostly in China, but even they're not allowed there technically, so they're, any missionaries or any group that helps North Korean refugees are there under a different name, and they're, if they're caught, they'll definitely be repatriated or, in some extreme cases, incarcerated. There were some stories of a South Korean pastor and a South Korean businessman who just happened to come across these refugees, and they were caught helping them, and the South Korean businessman is still actually incarcerated in China. Recently, the South Korean missionary that was arrested in China was recently released. But there are still a number of people that are arrested in China for trying to help these people. So definitely it's an effort, but it's very underground. And it's not really acknowledged by the Chinese government.
Should the United States and any of the fellow countries use military tactics to help solve this problem? And we've certainly done it with other countries. What makes this different?
I think right now, just because of the whole nuclear issue, it's a very, very touchy subject. North Korea everybody needs to know that North Korea is a very, very prideful country. I think because coming from just being persecuted by and just being conquered by the Japanese, China and the United States, they just have a lot of bitterness just embedded in this country. And so to actually take military action would be a very, very big provocation to China. And right now, North Korea, their main, mission right now is to prepare for war against the United States. Even at this moment right now, the country is training the military to go against war with the United States. That's their main, that's what they think every day, that the United States is going to invade, that they're going to attack, that they're going to try to take over this country. And so they teach their people that we need to be ready. We need to be ready to strike back and to keep our ground. And so I really don't think a military action would be the best idea. But if we were to take really just international stances where we would take policies, make policies to help maybe diminish aid to North Korea so that we stop feeding the aristocracy, that in some way to help the people of North Korea by taking, I think, international policies would be the best way.
You know, Jennifer, I believe you mentioned it earlier, but I'll direct this question to both of you. You said that a large percentage of the North Korean public does not agree with what's going on. They're very unhappy. My understanding of the helpful information that was passed on to me before the show is that the society is divided into three castes. There's the folks who support Kim Jong-il. They're the ones who, then there's this middle group who aren't completely convinced in terms of the way he treats it as more of a religious aspect or treats himself as a religious aspect. And then there are the ones who are against him that he's put into the concentration camps.
Right. Again, I think you're right about the caste. I feel like the people who are agreeing with him, those are the aristocracy, the very, very wealthy. They're just a couple percentage in North Korea that that are fed well, that are provided for. And knowing that a lot of these, the means of supporting these groups are with the international aid given to North Korea by the U.S., South Korea, a lot of this aid is diverted and given to the aristocracy. That's why they support Kim Jong-il. The second is people who are very, they want to support him just because that's what everybody else is doing, but they don't agree with it. But a lot of these people are very fearful of voicing these opinions because, like I said, the safety of their families are at hand. You're not going to go against, you're not going to say certain things when you know your wife is going to pay the consequences for it. When your children are going to pay the consequences for it, you're going to watch what you say. And so these people, I guess, put up a front to act like they're supporting the government when they're really inside, they're disagreeing with a lot of the things. And lastly, that third group who may somehow voice these opinions or are being caught thinking differently from the government, they're placed into these concentration camps, and they know firsthandedly that something is wrong with this government.
Well, you know, Howard, I hope I remember this comment from earlier in the program. By the way, www.cvillepodcast.com if you're not catching the entire program and you want to pick it up at another time, is that the best way to solve the problem is internally, is to get this large percentage of North Korean citizens to change things from inside. Mm-hmm. But how do you do that? How do you get the solutions and the changes that come from those folks who fear constant danger, who don't get any or get very little contact from outside the country? How do you do that?
It's very hard, but I think one way to do it is to somehow find a way to let people in North Korea know that what they're going through is not the best thing in the world. And that's what they're told. North Korean people are told that their country is the wealthiest country. They're brainwashed that, you know, South Korea is even worse than North Korea. You know, there is nothing to benefit from leaving the country and things like that. But I believe that, you know, if you know, like there's radio stations or TV or you know, internet that somehow penetrates through the borders of North Korea and people find out, they will create some kind of, you know, groups to, you know, rebel against the government. But it's very hard because the surveillance in North Korea is just amazing. Like, they, like, once something starts, they know, like, that moment, and they just kill it. The military and presence in North Korea obviously is really strong. And there are stories where people, like, by chance somehow, like, saw a footage of just ordinary life in the U.S. It's nothing about, like, democracy or anything like that. It's just a regular family just living in the U.S. and they look at it and they feel like what they have, is just, you know, what they're being told is total lies. And they see those footages somehow and they decide to leave the country. So it's really tragic. So
I guess I'm, I don't know. I don't want to feel like there's no hope,
mm-hmm.
but we can't do anything. We can't force our way in to change them, to change the current leadership because of the way they may hurt the people that we're trying to help, because of military issues on their side, nuclear weapons, etc. We can't get their closest neighbor to help in any way because they keep returning defectors back to the country for the punishment that goes with trying to leave. We can't get information to those citizens who need the help on the inside because the North Korean government does such a tremendous job of keeping the information out or brainwashing them with that information. I'm, you know, throwing up my hands and saying, well, what do you want me to do? What option have I missed?
Well, I think, again, international policies is our best bet right now. Again, asking China to stop repatriating these people, asking China to do stop aid, stop doing business with North Korea. A lot of these things will force North Korea to collapse, their regime to collapse. And basically, that's what we're really hoping for right now, is because, like you said, this effort is kind of hopeless right now because, like you said, we can't do a lot of the things. There are certain measures right now. I know there is a radio program in South Korea called Free North Korea Radio Broadcasting Company, Free North Korea Radio Station. And basically what they do is they send radio signals over to North Korea. And those few people who listen or catch the signal, all of this, of course, illegally, they hear what the things are going on in South Korea, in different countries. Then they realize that everything they've been taught is a lie. And so small efforts like this do help bring awareness to North Koreans. But I think our best bet right now is to stop aid to North Korea and to force this regime to collapse.
Jennifer, you handed me this. I want you to read some of these.
Okay.
These statistics.
Like I said before, starvation is a word to most Americans. Nobody in America starves to death today, but in Korea, since the 1990s, 2.5 million are dead from famine. And something to make this, I guess, more emphasis on it, the average North Korean eats 350 calories a day. 350, I think that's like two of my granola bars. That's all these people eat a day. And I talked to this one lady who had to see her son die because he hadn't eaten anything for a couple weeks, and she had found, I think it was a cucumber, and he ate it, and his body couldn't handle all that food at once, so he died because he ate a cucumber. And I think that really puts into perspective how dire the situation is in North Korea today. People go out and walk miles so that they can pick grass to eat. People pick tree bark, and they eat it because there is virtually no food. And there's been reports that after these situations have gotten so bad that a lot of people have resorted to cannibalism. There have been stories of children being kidnapped and slaughtered to be sold as pork on the market streets of North Korea.
And this is not a country whose general landscape is that of a desert.
No,
they're
not
just
at all.
Not allowed to grow food. And no food is provided mm-hmm. for them.
Yeah, the country just doesn't provide anything. And any and all aid goes to the aristocracy. And if some aid is somehow diverted, it's sold on the black market, mm-hmm. which the few North Korean with the money to buy it can buy some food that way. With U.S. dollars, a $7 feeds 100 North Koreans for 1 month.
Say that again?
$7 feeds 100 North Koreans for 1 month.
Remember that when you go to visit one of our underwriters for lunch.
And there are about roughly, I think, 300,000 refugees hiding in China. So 300,000 people have defected successfully from North Korea, and they are hiding in China. But
because they don't want to get sent back.
Right.
Because China will send them back.
Yeah, if they're not in hiding. If any authorities find them, they'll send them back. And but regardless, there are still hundreds that are caught and sent over every day. And 70 to 90% of these North Koreans that are in hiding in China are sexually trafficked, which means that people find them. Sometimes they coerce them. Sometimes they lie to them and say that they'll help them. But what they do is they catch them and they marry them off, quote unquote, marry them off to these Chinese men. Most of them are handicapped or somehow physically deformed, so that they can't get married, and they're sold off as these sex slaves, as these sex toys, and they're given very hard labor. And people don't know about these women. There's 70 to 90% of these 300,000 refugees hiding in China, and they're being sexually trafficked. And that's very, very tragic. Right now, there are 200 to 300,000 political prisoners in North Korea, and they're all in various camps. There are 10 to 12 camps, like Howard said, in North Korea, in various areas, very, very similar to the ones in the Nazi reign. $7 feeds one North Korean, $7 again feeds 100 North Koreans for 1 month, and I just can't emphasize enough how dire the situation is in North Korea right now.
All right, 11:52 here in the wake-up call. it is the Christmas season, and one of the things that we're doing for this hour is letting people know that you should be thinking of others, and I say Christmas season. And that's what we're going to talk about next week, is how people like myself just assume everyone celebrates Christmas. There are other holidays. It's the holiday time, and as you think of others, please remember not everyone is as happy as you are, and you can donate money to a wonderful organization such as Link, linkglobal.org. Let me remind you that it's groups like 45fix.com that are supporting us today. If you have a project but not the time, there's a simple way to find a contractor. From kitchen and bathroom remodeling, house painting, to decks and siding, it's 45fix.com. Immediate, no obligation estimates, available anytime. That's the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere, because at noon, George Bell was here for Les Temps Purdue. It's the best of the 80s and 90s alternative. No Brian Adams, no Jay Giles, no Journey. But he will play some R.E.M., Jane's Addiction, and The Church, and requests are always welcome. That's Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only here on WNRN. All right, we have 5 or 6 minutes left to talk about Link and humanitarian problems in North Korea with Howard Kim and Jennifer Yang from the University of Virginia chapter of Link. I guess one of the questions I want to ask is, there was a recent article in the paper sometime in the last week or two about the luxury item ban. No iPods, no plasma TVs, cognac and Rolex. You can't send that over to North Korea anymore. Mm. Is this important? Is this a real worthwhile law that was made?
I guess right now it's...
I mean, it seems kind of silly talking about all the other stuff we've talked about. $7 feeding all these people. And
it is true that there was an incident where North Korean the elite class, received tons of aid as rice as an aid, they sent back the ship to France in exchange for boxes of cognac for themselves to enjoy. And there are many, many incidents where they sell the aid that they receive and for their own entertainment and pleasure. And that shouldn't obviously happen. You know, those aids were given by people like us, you know, thinking about the people that are suffering in North Korea, and these things are being, you know, taken advantage of by the ruling class of North Korea. So,
but if we send a you know, a boat full of rice, mm-hmm. and they're no longer allowed to exchange it for cognac, aren't they just going to let the rice rot rather than spread it around to the people who need it?
No, that'll definitely go to feed the military like it always has, mm-hmm. or the people, the elite of mm-hmm. North Korea.
The one thing that really needs to happen is the transparency of where these aids go to. So that we know exactly where these things are going to. And obviously the North Korean government prevents from that to happen. So I think it's very important that we push the North Korean government to provide that kind of transparency and, yeah, things like that.
Okay, this is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRSN Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. 11:57 here on the Wake Up Call. Just a minute or two left. Has United Nations done anything to help?
There's an organization called UNHCR, UN Human Rights Commissioner for Human Rights, UN Commissioner for Human Rights, and they are specifically an organization to help refugees to find asylum and find safety for them. And there is UNHCR that exists in China, and they have tried to help the refugees in China, but we feel like their effort was not enough, and they were obviously being blocked by the Chinese government to do their work, but I feel like they need to be stronger about the mission statement that they have, which is to essentially help these people. So we feel like the effort is not anywhere near where it needs to be.
Last question to get you out of here today, and I want to thank both of you, Jennifer Yang and Howard Kim, for coming on the program and talking about this and enlightening certainly myself, and I assume a wide variety of other people listening during the hour. We did already talk about how people can help, and donating money came out as and educating others came out as the big answers to that. But how do you join the organization locally so that you can participate in that and go spread the word and do whatever? You know, how do you find the UVA Link chapter?
We have an email address that anyone can send emails to, and it's UVA at Link.
It's Link,
Link at
UVA.
UVA at Gmail. So that's linkatuva@gmail.com. So if any of you are interested in joining the Link chapter at UVA, feel free to send emails. And we have different events that go on.
Like, well, Ms. Publicity Chair, what exactly would some of those be? You got anything coming up soon?
Well, we have lots of screenings of documentaries that kind of give a little bit more insight as to the life in North Korea. We have different events such as last year we had a North Korea Freedom Week, which was we had screenings, we had a candlelight vigil, we had free fruit on the lawn, and just little things like this to help raise awareness to the things going on in North Korea. It's definitely very, very fulfilling, so if anybody wants to come out. And again, if you're not in the area, but if you want to find a chapter near you, if you just go to the linkglobal.org website, you'll find a chapter that's very... It's near anywhere.
And linkatuva@gmail.
.com.
All right. Thank you so much, both of you, for being here today. You're always welcome back.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
As I mentioned earlier, next week we're going to talk about what it's like to be non-Christian during the holiday era, holiday season. And people like me just assume everybody's celebrating Christmas.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.rlc.net. The wake-up call is produced by Catherine Greiner. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.